Moncrief with Gas Networks Ireland. Aren't you tired of that ugly fuel storage tank, having to order and write that big check for the delivery guy? gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.
1850 453 106 is our low call number. Our text number is 53106. That'll cost you 30 cents. Or you can follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Someone on Twitter actually says, "Remember the stories about a certain area in Dublin." I actually don't know where you're referring to particularly, but where anyway, Dirk says where people used cling film instead of condoms. I don't specifically remember that, but I wouldn't be surprised at the same time. Sure, you know, if you can't get your hands in the real thing, try something that's similar. Anyway, Mairead Lavery finds that very amusing.
I wonder, did the local hospital have a bit of untangling to do? You know, one thing mightn't have been deposited, but other things could have been.
But of course, it wasn't. You know, people of a certain age will remember when you just couldn't get condoms.
No, you didn't. No, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
And I can remember when.
And the world was going to end when.
Oh, stop. I remember that you couldn't buy a condom in Westmeath. No one would stock them.
No.
It was entering condom free territory.
I know, it's just extraordinary. I mean, you know, my generation, and I won't say what age I am, but anyway, you know, people who've got kids in their 20s now and that kind of age group, you know, we grew up in an Ireland that has just changed beyond, you know, any recognition in terms of, like, now we were at the very tail end of it, all right.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, none of the social legislation had gone through or anything. Even, you know, I was still in secondary school, yeah, when equal pay for equal work came in. And look, we're still fighting for that. it's just extraordinary, the change, yeah.
Yeah, and it is interesting that way that often around those things, politicians are so nervous about it and they go so cautiously because presumably they're expecting a backlash. But that backlash never came.
No, but I think they've learned. I mean, they're flying ahead now, you know. Mm. I mean, but there was a time when it was a lashing off the pulpit really did matter.
Yeah.
And especially to local politicians, and they fed it up the line to the TDs.
Yeah.
But you're just, you know, ordinary people, you know, their ability to do things against the norm. You wanted to be very brave. I remember, you know, some listeners might remember Maureen Ahern down in, she was in Limerick City. I think she'd come from Australia. She'd born in Ireland, had lived in Australia, come back and married and settled down there. And I mean, she was highly outspoken about stuff, you know, just when it was totally unacceptable.
Yeah.
So people, you know, they're very brave people. And we now have stuff that we take for granted. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And like one of the biggest things is the huge fall in teenage pregnancies.
Yeah.
Massive. I think we figures below what we had in the early 1960s. And again, you know, that's where sex education comes in. And, you know, give people the information and, you know, they'll make use of it.
And the only reason we're talking about that is that there's still a large number of people still using the withdrawal method, apparently.
Yeah.
Well. Holy Catholic withdrawal method. We all know about that. Right. Japanese knotweed. It's evil.
Public enemy number one. And is actually, I never realised this. And my colleague Anthony Jordan is doing a big piece on it in this week's journal. It's absolutely gone widespread throughout the country. Now, it was introduced sometime in the 1800s, the early 1800s. It's a nice botanical plant. Indeed, there are kind of varieties of it still in gardens. They're not the Japanese knotweed, but they're kind of cousins of it that mind their manners and behave themselves. But this thing can come up through concrete. The roots can go 15 feet deep into the ground. It cost, as I think, 70 million for the London Olympics to clear a patch of ground, about 10 acres of ground of it, because they couldn't build anything on it. Nowadays, if you've got knotweed anywhere near you, within even a couple of kilometres, you won't get planning permission.
Crikey.
Because if there's any knotweed in the area and it's disturbed, it will actually kind of just go all over the place. Like, you might have a couple of stalks of it over here, but, you know, the slightest bit of a leaf, even the dust from it, anything will make it grow. And right now, you know, hedges are being cut, kind of most of the nesting season is over. And county councils are around the country. They're warning. There's warning signs gone up all over the place. I believe down in Longford, there's a particular road where every kind of kilometre or so, there's a notice up with warnings to people who are cutting hedges. Please, if you see this stuff, report it immediately to the local authority. Actually, it's got so bad that the Transport Infrastructure of Ireland, that group, have set aside 5.5 million over 3 years to the local authorities to be able to deal with it. Now, there's a lot of things you could do with 5.5 million in this country at the minute. But, you know, nobody would think you were actually fighting a plant.
But that presumably was, that's reflective of the amount of damage this plant can do.
Well, it is, because it's, I mean, you talk about pyrite in buildings. This thing can come up through concrete. And, you know, if you go into an area where it's, there's maybe an infestation of it and the soil gets moved or it kind of spreads, I mean, it can literally come through any fissure, through any concrete. It seemingly is, and it's nearly impossible to get rid of. People think, you know, by cutting it or burning it or whatever, that that'll work. What the county councils are recommending is that you need to talk to the local authority as soon as you see it. If you come across it, you're recommended to go home and wash your feet or wash your shoes, wash your clothes, take a shower, because literally you can spread it so simply. And it is impossible to get rid of. I have a map here in front of me, and there you can have it, see it. The farm map there where it's nearly all white was where the damn thing was in 1980. And where now it's nearly covered in green is where it's got to.
All right. Okay. So yeah, it's pretty much everywhere, except for some odd reason, the Midlands.
Now, I don't know why. Maybe there's a lot of, you know, with the Shannon Callows and all along there, there might be a reason for that. But it's along for Edwardstown Road is where the sign is every kilometre or so. But like, it's already, you know, it took 9 million seemingly to clear the ground for a housing estate down in Cork. It held up the Kinmare Community Hospital because the area had to be cleansed of it. It's not recommended that anybody who has it on their land that they go at it and try and get rid of it, because you won't. You know, you'll probably even make it way, way worse. So the local authorities need to deal with it. So now, between now and kind of the end of the month and early September is the best time to deal with it. So, you know, anyone looking out for it, you know, you can just look it up on Google, Japanese knotweed, and it's how to kill it, how to destroy it. The first kind of 10 articles are absolutely like, you know, you've got to get rid of this stuff. So people can see what it looks like. It's got a nice kind of heart-shaped leaf. They're lovely and big. It's got a nice flower attached to it and kind of a lovely kind of fluffy type of a flower. But it is pure deadly, and it's not that it's deadly to animals. It's not that it's kind of going to block rivers or anything like that. But what it can do to buildings and concrete and walls and all of the rest of it, that's where the real problem lies. But I mean, there's even now, Anthony in his report is saying that banks have been known to not give mortgages when a site inspection showed that there was knotweed on the within, you know, distance of the site. So at the rate it's moving, you know, people need to be watching out for it, and they need to deal with it. And
that's,
as I said,
5.5
million set aside from the local authorities.
And you know how they get rid of it? Because I assume it's not the usual weed killer.
Yeah, I think they absolutely have to inject it, you know, with a specific type of weed killer, because it just, most things won't get rid of it. I mean, you can see the spread of it, and you know, there's implications on property values, just on the safety of buildings
and maybe structuring it.
Yeah, and I mean, you just looking at it, you wouldn't think it was that kind of strong. It's kind of got a bamboo-y type. What would you call it? Upright stem. And then the leaves are kind of nice, lovely, purpley green. And you know, it's in a very attractive plant. You can see why it would have been brought in. A bit like the ponticum, you know, that awful rhododendron that has, you know, invaded the National Park in Kinmare. You know, that was brought in because it looked great, and great big acres of it, you know, on a height, looking up at all these flowers. But I mean, it choked everything else within its sight. But this is, that managed to stay in certain parts of the country where it's got a habitat that suits it. But seemingly the knotweed will grow anywhere and loves growing anywhere and is going like the billy-o right across the country.
Right,
so
indeed,
be warned. And if you find it and you see it on your land or near in a public park or somewhere like that, let the local authority know, and they will come out and deal with it. Do not do it yourself.
Because you're
probably only going to make it worse.
Yeah, I see a text there from somebody in Cavan saying that they have some locally. Also, we got a text in from a company called JapaneseKnotweedIreland.ie. So there are companies specifically devoted to getting rid of this.
Yeah, well, you're not, it's not like nettles. It's not like ragwort. Now, there's another noxious plant. And, you know, Mary Reynolds is this, she's a great gardener, and she believes in kind of, you know, plants are basically, you know, weeds are plants in the wrong place. And, you know, but there's an awful lot of ragwort. Now, that's dangerous to animals. And the traditional way of doing that was to literally pull it up. People went out and pulled it up, because if you chopped it up or if you kind of cut it down, you know, you were leaving the root there. You were spreading it through the seeds. It was no good. So, you know, you just pulled it. But there isn't the kind of the numbers on farms to do that anymore. So, but Japanese knotweed, ragwort was the number one noxious plant on farms. Nettles would be another one, although people are getting a lot more sensitive about nettles because of the habitat they provide for butterflies in particular. And rushes then, of course. Nobody has found anything useful to do with rushes. I don't know why they were ever I hate rushes of all the noxious things. Like, I quite like the look of Japanese knotweed.
Yes, yeah.
But I don't want it around the place. But rushes... There is no purpose in life for a rush, none.
They're the seagull of the weed world.
And they sour land and they're horrible things.
Someone says, I saw a farmer on one of the roads to Bandon making a new entrance, and he most definitely sped up the knotweed growth. I thought the councils were to highlight it and put up signs. Somebody else says that a Kerry councillor, a councillor in Kerry, suggested that they make jam out of Japanese knotweed.
Yep, that's absolutely true. Who is it? It's the mushroom people in Ballyhoura.
Yeah.
Also, they have come up with this thing, Mick Cribben. It's Ballyhoura Mountain Mushrooms. He says they can be pickled and tinned like they do in Asia. That's what they do with Japanese knotweed.
Oh.
Now, I don't know whether it'll ever take off. Seemingly, it's kind of got a rhubarb-y taste. But, I mean, if you want to go out now, like more than harvesting the elderberries or harvesting nettles for soup or all the other things that people are the blackberries on the ditches, try it. But honest to God, there seems to be so much of it around now that we'd be eating rhubarb tasting desserts for the rest of the time.
I don't know how much of that to catch on.
No.
Right, we'll move on. There's a new scheme for habitats.
There is, yeah. This is interesting now. You know the way farmers are always getting given out to about not having enough places for the birds and the bees and the bats and all the rest of it. Well, we've had REP schemes, which is Rural Environment Protection Schemes.
Yeah.
And they've been very good at trying to get people to kind of cotton on to the whole environment thing and make sure, you know, rivers are fenced and cattle aren't going down into them. And you know that there's a lot of species planted, a lot of trees planted, a lot of hedges now put in. We've got a white thorn hedge now, a fine long one. It badly needs trimming, and it's taken us forever to grow it. It's been a nightmare to get it to grow properly. But now, anyway, there's the new scheme out called GLOSS, and in it there's very small support. You're talking about a couple of hundred euro for people to put in bird boxes and bee sanctuaries and all the rest of it. So 55,000 farmers across the country, now that's an awful lot of land covered, have been approved under these schemes. And you put in terms of them, 18,000 farmers have been approved for putting in suitable habitats for bees. And most of them are sand pits or bee boxes. And now we put in houses, little bird boxes, and they're made exactly to the specifications provided, and they're put in that direction. But we're a bit like an AMA. What do you call them housing estates?
Ghost estates.
We've got all these houses and we've nobody in them. The little birdies have never come into them. Either we don't have the birds that they actually suit, because, you know, birds have all go into different type of habitats.
Yeah.
But it's been, you know, like on the house outside our bedroom window, we have five nests of swifts. and the clatter of them from 4 o'clock in the morning. Now, it's wonderful, but the amount of excrement that they shoot all over the walls and everything. Now, I wouldn't take them out of it for anything. But, you know, we started with one, we now have five. Now, they're fully habited. You know, they're in great order. But all these little bird things we put up, you know, they haven't worked. So I'm just hoping now that, you know, what they're doing for the bats, for bees across so many farms. Because just think of the awareness that that's creating as well, you know, within families. That they're out checking to see, are the bees coming into the sand pits? Are the birds nesting? So, you know, it really is a good scheme. It costs not an awful lot of money. And, you know, it just encourages people to get out there and do this all the time.
I wonder how you get the birds then to come into the birdhouse.
I don't know. I think maybe we've the wrong type. You know, there's a different set of birds. You know, it might have been made for a finch and we don't have finch. Like, we've loads of robins and wrens and thrushes and we've those little wagtail fellas and little wrens in particular. Like, they're not the size of your thumb, especially the baby ones. Mm. And then at this time of the year, we're just absolutely covered with the swifts and the swallows. I think the swallows go indoors to nest and the swifts go outdoors. But they tried now, you know, building a couple of more nests now this year, and we didn't encourage that. But there's still five outside the window. And but they hit the wall. Like, you don't know how... I think if the brakes, car systems could figure out the braking system that a swift has when it comes absolutely hitting the wall, like it goes from 0 to 60 and it goes from 60 to 0 in a space of a split second. The braking system. Mm. I don't know how they're not splattered across every wall in the country.
Yeah.
But they're fantastic to have around.
Going back to the knotweed, Jackie says, tell Murray that St. Bridget wouldn't be too happy with her dissing the rush. That's true.
Yeah, that's about the only use of them. Yeah.
Sheila in Cork says, it's all over Cork and Clare. 15 years ago, I brought knotweed to a wedding in Fota House as the flower arrangement. I'm mortified thinking back now about it. And somebody else says, I'm thinking about planting a bit of this stuff near my neighbour. He's a right pain in the arse. But of course, that'll bite you in the arse. Because
all he'll have to do is pick a leaf of it, you know.
Fling it into your garden. That's what you get. Right, that's our time over. Right, thanks a million for coming into us, Murray Lavery, from the Farmer's Journal. Back in a couple of minutes.
Moncrief with Gas Networks Ireland. Aren't you tired of that ugly fuel storage tank? Having to order and write that big check for the delivery guy? gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.